Blog Talk Hello. Radio.
Hello, this is Jane Hoffman. I'm calling live from Duluth, Minnesota. John Yoder will be joining me shortly. In the meantime, I'm going to play one of his songs. It's called Before the Throne. I'm going to talk over it. So we are starting a new radio network. We're not really going to get off the ground until May 10th. That's when we'll be returning to full 60-minute shows. And then we'll have our same slot at 7 or 8 at night, Central Time. Right now, there's a 2-hour time difference. I'm going to bring John in. There's a 2-hour time difference because one of us is on the West Coast and one of us is in the Midwest. John, can you hear me? Yeah, I'm playing Before the Throne. Can you hear it?
No.
Okay, well, the audience can. So it sounds like you were caught in the matrix of office supply selling. Are you in your vehicle?
Actually, yeah. A minute or so.
What was that? I didn't quite hear you.
Oh, I said, actually, I am. However, I'm actually, will be arriving to a stop in about a few minutes or so.
Well, if you want to call back in on your land phone, you feel free, okay?
Excellent.
I can always pick. So tonight, we're just doing a 30-minute afternoon episode. It's 3:30 in Los Angeles, 5:30 in Duluth. There's a fire near Rancho Cucamonga. 1,100 people have evacuated their homes, including their pets. Do you have any other news flashes?
Well, as you know, the whole town is abuzz about the Donald Sterling case, a.k.a. Donald Chokowitz. And it dominates everything over here. It's a bigger-than-life issue. How's the word out there in Minnesota?
I watched headline news last night on CNN. I noticed they picked strategic upscale black people to discuss the topic. Plus, they picked a Caucasian lawyer who basically said there's no tolerance for behavior like that, and fans don't want to buy tickets to owners who behave like that. So it is nationally being televised and debated.
It's an interesting situation. A lot of times people are quick to throw stones, and obviously he has racist thoughts and has made racist comments and actions. There are, though, other things behind the scenes that people don't always quite realize. I'll give you an example. He bought property in the about 30 or 40 years ago. And he started, he actually worked his way up to become a lawyer. His parents were Jewish immigrants. And literally, by buying, he became very successful as a lawyer for divorce and personal injury. Some of his real estate deals went well. He bought a 26-unit complex in Beverly Hills. If you live in L.A., I can only tell you, when he was two, they relocated from Chicago and moved to Boyle Heights. Is that an area you're familiar with, Jane Hoffman?
Yes, I lived there for almost 2 years. I was a police informant. And the first 10 days after I moved there, there was a murder on the intersection where I lived, and I was the only one who witnessed the getaway car, and I had to be a witness. And so after 10 days, there was that murder on the corner, and a car reversed for 50 yards backwards. And then 3 days later, there were 16 shots fired at a house kitty corner from my house on the same street. So I'm very familiar with Boyle Heights.
Yes, and, growing, living in L.A., there's certain parts of town. I have friends that are Hispanic, and they live in the hood, and I take them there, and whether it's Normandy and Vernon, you know, whether it's Crenshaw, there's a lot of places where if you go at 2 at night, you're going to see people on the street corners, and they're not white, and they're not middle class. It's going to be black, sometimes Hispanic. I know that there are parts of the country where we have white trash, or where there's other parts where you've got, you know, the Latino barrio. So there certainly are poor people across color lines. But in his experience, his experience with black people as a landlord has been very negative. And you begin to, like, I live in Santa Monica.
Just so you know, Boyle Heights has no blacks. It's 99.9% Mexican. They did a census, and in a mile radius from, I lived across the street from Hollenbeck Park. There was only 6 whites in a mile radius in each direction, and it used to be a 100% Jewish neighborhood 40 years earlier.
So you can kind of see where, as the neighborhood breaks down and your only interaction with minorities is negative, you can start to have some bad attitudes. I rented where I live 2 different times to people who are African-American. I can only tell you that that both of them didn't pay rent at all, ever. They moved in and they squatted, and I had to go through a whole process to evict them. When I went to court, literally, there were 20 cases for eviction that day. Now, Santa Monica, you know, is predominantly white, maybe, you know, 20-30% Hispanic, 10% black. Of 20 cases for eviction for nonpayment, 18 of 20 were African-American, 1 white eviction, and 1 Hispanic. Now,
okay, well,
me,
so the guy moved from Chicago. He moved to a dumpy neighborhood, but, you know, I was white middle class. I moved to Boyle Heights because my millionaire father wouldn't help me, and I was not on the government dole at the time. I paid $5.25 for rent, and I was the only white person that moved out of the Catholic shelter who didn't get Section 8. There were foreigners from Belize and Paraguay that got Section 8, but I didn't because I was working. And I made $1,000 over the Section 8. The barrier was $20,000. I was making $21,000. So just because you move from a middle-class Chicago to a low-class area in L.A. doesn't make you noble. It just might make you stupid or poor.
Right. Well, I guess I'm saying if you have an attitude and you're not a balanced person, it's very easy and you're out to make money like a Donald Sterling, you're going to start having negative thoughts towards minorities. And, I mean, you know how it is in the hood. The people hanging out at night, they're not out there looking for jobs. They're running drugs. They have warped thinking. I mean, go to Skid Row where you'll see hundreds of thousands of black people out there. I tried to film some their plight and put it in a video and a music, you know, documentary, and you can't do it. They'll attack you. Now I realize there's people out there to exploit them, but the point is, I was the wrong color. In fact,
well, Khloe Kardashian went to a shelter in downtown LA, about 6 blocks in the LA Times, and she got to film it.
I literally, when I went out at 2 at night because I knew during the day they might attack me. I had kind of like an undercover camera, and there was a couple of homies up, you know, running drugs, and someone came up to me and said, hey, are you trying to film, you know, and they got really belligerent, and I said, no, I'm not filming, you know, I just kind of snuck the camera under my arm and just walked along. I didn't acknowledge them, didn't talk to them. I just barely got out of there, but the point is, there's a very angry attitude of people out there on the streets, and they just want to be homeless, and they don't want to improve their life. And I could see for a rich, successful person to look down on it. I don't condone it. but it's not without any consideration.
Well, it's probably because the drug runners didn't want their face on the camera.
Well, you know, the thing is, it was at night, and they're sleeping, and it wasn't even their face. I was just showing the whole situation of a homeless camp. The point is, they were angry. You know, they were upset. They just wanted, they didn't, I've worked with people on the streets before. There's a certain mentality or culture. When I was growing up, I was recording one time at a white studio, and I'm Hispanic, and I've grown up with people that are Mexican not liking me because I'm half German. And I've had people that were white hating me because I was half Mexican. I look kind of more Mexican. So I've grown up with it both ways. But my attitude is, I don't want people to have to like me. If you don't like me because of the color of my skin, it's like, you know what, I don't want to waste my time associating or trying to make you love me. I think sometimes we have to legalize, like, people to love each other.
Well, I think it's where you are and under what circumstance. Like, if you're at church and someone's being racist, that's one thing. But if you're at work, it's illegal. And if you're just an average Joe on the street and someone just has a bad disposition, then you can't really fix anybody like that.
Well here's a question. You get a knock on your door and there's five homeless guys that are a minority with alcohol bottles. Do you let them in and stay the week with your son?
No.
Why not? Aren't we loving and accepting and giving equal opportunity to everyone?
It would just, okay, we're kind of getting off the subject. Basically, this guy, I heard this guy, Don Sterling's 80 years old. Is that true?
Oh, I'm sorry?
Is Don Sterling really 80 years old?
Oh, yes. In fact, he married his wife. They've been married 59 years or so. In fact, when this tape came out, it was one day before his birthday. He was born April 26th. It came out on the 25th. So happy birthday, Don.
Well, he's kind of a lost cause. I mean, he sounds just like a rigid person who didn't really, he somehow missed the revolution of the 60s and the Aquarius love era. And he's an old man stuck in the mud. If you said he grew up in Chicago, that's one of the most racist cities anyways. And he's not fixable, but I think that it's kind of strange that there was a coalition to get him to sell the team. I mean, nobody made an attempt to reform him.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting. I had a friend who worked for Shelley Sterling doing, like, face products and creams and things like that, you know, just to look younger. And she did Don's face as far as, like, a treatment. And he offered her, this is like about 20 years back, he offered her $500 to dance naked for him. So he's always had that reputation.
Are you kidding?
Oh, that's just the tip of the iceberg. But yes,
he doesn't have a lot of class, that's for sure.
Well, now consider this. In about 30, 40 years ago, Jerry Buss wanted to buy the Lakers. And he had some money, but he didn't have it all. Trying to buy the Lakers from Jack Kent Cook, but he needed to buy the Lakers, the Kings, the Forum, and a few other things. It was $67 million. And he had most of it, but at the last moment, a couple of his partners backed out. So he was short a few million. So he had to sell about almost $3 million worth of property to Donald Sterling to borrow a million or two to finish the deal. So the Lakers actually may not have, although Buss would have come up with it some other way. But the point is, he was a buddy, a business buddy. And Jerry's actually lived a very similar, although not racist, life, having cheerleaders and strippers and, Playboy bunnies with them all the time at the game. Just he wasn't cheating.
I have a question. Well, first of all, I wanted to tell our guests the calling number is 323-642-1691, and the chat room is open. It just sounds like, I wonder if he bought a team for notoriety or just to get chicks. I mean, did he even really have a personal stake in basketball?
Donald Sterling has always looked for business opportunity, and he's done it by being stingy and by pinching pennies, and that's how he got to the top. He's very good at it. And when he did buy the Clippers, it's for about $18 million, and they're worth about $575 million. So you can figure, you know, he probably, his investment went up, you know, a gazillion times. He's always spent the least amount of money for his product. Well, yeah, it was just for entertainment. It was to be seen in public. It was a write-off. And he was considered, actually Times and Forbes considered him the worst owner in sports history. And
Why?
Oh, because he didn't put any money into his team. He would get the best draft choices because they finished poorly. And he would take the cheap labor, develop it, and then let it go elsewhere for a higher contract when it came time to pay up. And he just kept milking the system. Meanwhile, the whole NBA collective price per franchise went up. So he benefited from everyone else investing in product where he didn't. Like a slumlord.
Well, what did he do with the new recruits that was terrible?
Basically, he would consider them kind of like black slaves, and he would view it's kind of like the old system. He could make money off of black talent, and he could screw black talent, but anything beyond that was crossing over the line. And, you know, he would sometimes show off the player, like his girlfriends. He would take them in the locker room and show them, like, look at these beautiful black bodies, you know, in the shower room. And he didn't do that all the time, but it was that kind of attitude.
You mean like the black bodies of the male players?
Yeah, so it's kind of like, look at my horses here. Look at my livestock. Look at, you know, what I own here. Knowing that it would be impressive to these young girls, seeing, hey, these are, you know, naked players showering, getting dressed. You know, this guy owns and controls them. So he liked the power of it all, you know, no doubt. But realize
that's really strange and twisted.
The world. But now here's something interesting. Remember Magic Johnson? When he had to quit basketball, it was because of HIV. He was part of Showtime, and, you know, basically every city they come to town, they would sleep with all the girls that would show up. James Worthy was married. He got busted in Houston for trying to solicit prostitutes, and that kind of shut down that whole thing. So a lot of times people are quick to throw stones for moral behavior. Granted, racism is wicked, no doubt, but we all have wicked little corners in our lives. And I think we should examine ourselves before we, you know, start throwing rocks at him. Like, in other words, today, did racism stop in Donald Sterling's heart or his friends or black athletes who use the N-word because they're black and white? Here's another thing to consider.
Well, I think, you know, that's what I was saying. Why would the whole ownership shut down over a shoddy girlfriend who wanted to burn his ass? Like, I understand the gravity of the statements, but they could make them, they could have pressured them in different ways, like give more to charity, redeem yourself, you know, stuff like that, but instead they banned them for life.
Well, you know, here's the big difference between the NBA when Donald Sterling joined it. It wasn't that corporate. They were, when Jerry Buss bought the Lakers, they were showing some playoff games on time delay. It wasn't the sport that it was today. Nowadays, there's all this corporate luxury boxes. There's shoe endorsements. You know, Michael Jordan changed the whole endorsement complex, and so everything's very corporate. It wasn't corporate back in the day. You know, you would sometimes have to find on the sports report, you know, basketball scores at 11:30 at night. You know, now it's 24/7. You know, sports talk radio. So once corporate sponsors started to threaten to pull, you know, and once the media got a hold of this, and they're afraid of lawsuits, think about football. They didn't care about concussions until guys started threatening lawsuits. they don't really care that the players, you know, are hurt. They don't care about discrimination until the color green is involved. And that's the difference today with the NBA. It's a very corporate machine with sponsors and advertising.
Do you think he's going to get sued?
No, I think what he may, you know, he's still a delusional, and he still thinks he's going to beat this. And, you know, he's even, I'm sure, planning to give the team to his wife. That's why she distanced herself from his comments. But the league will be forced to really have to give it to another person, another a buying group such as Magic Johnson or other people. Now, Magic is an issue because he owns the Dodgers. But still, there's many people with billions of dollars who want to buy an NBA franchise. And a lot of these people, they have skeletons, you know. They have conversations that they say. They've exploited people. We just don't know about it. That's the dangerous precedent I see, is that people watching everything you say in private, all your thoughts. I mean, what happens to our personal freedom, you know, that when they get violated? You know, I think we have to look at a bigger picture here, and I jumped too fast to the gun.
I agree. You know, in this case, the justice was swift and steady. Well, I wouldn't say steady, but swift and decisive, like a sledgehammer. I think blacks are just sick of being picked on, like from that incident with Don Imus to, I can't remember anything else recently, but I know there's been a few isolated incidents. I guess there's just zero tolerance.
Well, here's the question. How many of these owners and these rich people that Sterling hangs around with, how many of them have Hispanic maids and janitors and yard keepers? And what things do they say about them in private? You know, when they pay them, you know, minimum, you know, amount of money. Like, why won't they hire a white person? Well, they'd have to pay them more money. I know a couple friends that
That's true for that lady who ran for governor, the one who used to run eBay. She got in trouble for illegally hiring a Mexican.
I have a friend, her parents, they go and they work for a successful white producer, you know, with big movie credits. And, you know, they run the household. And when she rides the bus, you know, she has to go through the hood. And she's, in a way, a bit racist about black people, because when she gets on the streets, she's going to get jeered at. They're going to talk loud. You can hear it when you visit. You can hear across the street. You can hear the conversations. They just talk really loud. Now, do only black people talk loud? No. But what I'm saying is her experience at a young age has created an attitude, discrimination. You know, and this is, you know, these Christian people, nice people, but the environment can really affect the way you think. You know, going back to the example, would you let a bunch of homies with tattoos and drinking alcohol walk into your house? Some people would say sure, but I bet you a lot of people would say, you know what? My door's locked, and I'm closed for business.
Well, Magic Johnson isn't a drug addict or a drunk. He's a standout basketball player, and his name is associated with greatness, and that guy discriminated against him.
Well, would Magic go down to Skid Row and pick up some of the homies and bring them over to his house? Probably not. Although he does a lot of good things for the community. So the point being is that's kind of Donald's attitude, is just, listen, I have a preference of what I want around me in my seat with my girlfriend, the one that I'm paying for everything. And she blackmailed him.
Well, Will Chamberlain slept with 10,000 women. Magic Johnson slept with the wrong one and got HIV.
Right. I mean, I've had people hate on me. I recorded one time, and then I came back to pick up a tape 5 minutes later, and I could hear the white producer and his family talking around their table, joking about what did my girlfriend see in me. Now, she was Hispanic, too, but she looked white and kind of European. Lily white skin and brown hair. They didn't know she was Hispanic, and they said, "Yeah, he's just some dirty Mexican." And
that's pretty bad.
Well, part of it, I had been, recording all week, and I was literally just going. I took a week off for vacation, so I would just go to the studio and go back home. So I hadn't shaved for like 2 or 3 days. So yeah, I kind of looked like a little dirty Mexican, but it was the attitude of it. And I sat there listening. I was going to knock on the door, and I just listened through the screen, hear them just bag on me, because I was a minority. And I thought, that's just where their heart's at, That's their experience.
That's pretty sad, but I remember one time in college somebody bagged on me, and I heard it through the door, and it was pretty upsetting.
Yes. But, I learned, we got to love people, and consistent love over time wins people over. And do I want to make a law that they have to like me? Do I want to arrest them? And is that going to make them, treat me as a nicer person? Yeah, maybe. Maybe not. There's different approaches. To myself, I would just say love and respect people around you. And in this case, the NBA, they took a stand, and I'm proud of them. They actually, were going to boycott seriously if something hadn't happened because of the momentum that this thing has taken. But again, I just think that all these players and people, we all need to look at our own personal lives. When's the last time we thought a racist thought or discriminated in our heart? Maybe it's someone that's too religious, What about a person that's an adulterer? Half these guys are spending money and banging women left and right. What about the morality? We have to think of our own morality.
Well, I guess in the end, everything blows over, just like Kobe supposedly raping that girl, which probably ended up being, it was consensual sex and she just wanted money, but who knows? But the fact of the matter is if you're popular, it blows over, but if you're not popular, nobody really heard of Don Sterling until the other day. There's a handful of people who knew who he was, but everybody knows who Kobe was, and they gave him the benefit of the doubt.
Well, as we said at the last show, you got to know your hoe. And I guess that's the bottom line. If you're going to think or say anything that anyone at any time can use in court, just realize that the rules of this country are not going to save you or help you in the social media society. I guess that's the point, is you're going to have to keep any off or twisted remark either to yourself, or you're just going to need to live a morally perfect life like a little robot. And I think the goal is to be a better person, but the point is we are flawed human beings. And that's the only thing I don't like, is that we have to have room in our space for forgiveness and some tolerance and to deal and look at the context of a person's life. And I'm not
You know what? In America nowadays, first of all, we only have 1 minute and 30 seconds left, but in America nowadays, good luck with that. There's not someone who comes out of the woodwork and is racist towards an organization that's 70% black. There's really not a lot of room for forgiveness in his personal life. Maybe someone will forgive him, but those people who know who the real person is may not. But the fact of the matter is this is a field day for the media, and they're not going to back down.
No, I guess the bottom line is, with God and forgiveness, it's instantaneous. But the repercussions of your actions on this planet will not be easily forgiven. So my closing thought as I leave is that follow the truth wherever it leads you, unless it's Donald Sterling's house in Malibu, California.
My final thoughts is follow the truth wherever it leads you, unless it's through a dark shadow of a condom. Try to stay on the path and keep your chin above water. And if you're going to take on special projects like NBA teams, have your full heart in it.
Well spoken, James.
You got 10 seconds, John. Any more thoughts?
All I can say is well spoken, Jane. Ham, bam. Thank you, ma'am.
You're welcome, and thank you for joining the Jane and John Yoder. The Jane and John Yoder Show, Political Gravity.
Protected by your hand, my dreams and schemes and all I have.
And I did want to mention, we're starting a new network. Our number is 323-642-1691. This is John's song that he recorded called Before the Throne.
Whenever I will call, we humbly bow before you. We love to praise and adore you. We humbly bow before the throne. We give you all the glory. Salvation is our story. We humbly bow before the throne. I offer up myself to you, protected by your hand. My dreams and schemes and all I have is surrendered to your plan. I know that I'm inadequate. I stumble and I fall. Still you always pick me up whenever I will call. We humbly bow before you. We love to praise and adore you. We humbly bow before the